You're listening to an Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat Minisode.
The Loy Sauce? Dude, you saw like a shitload of movies Saturday. You just sat in a theater all day long. So let's hear it, man.
I also saw a film called A Wrinkle in Time, which is the new Disney-released film by Ava DuVernay, the director of Selma, and also a documentary on Netflix that I highly recommend called 13th. This movie has the distinction of being helmed by, well, I guess it's the, if I'm correct on this, it's the first woman of color to direct a film with a budget of $100 million. So that's history in the making right there, with A Wrinkle in Time. It's based on a book written by Madeline L'Engle, and I read the book as a wee lad, and I actually reread the book in preparation for the film. And I had high expectations, because when you get a cast, when you assemble a cast such as this, and it's based on a book that I love, and you have a visionary female filmmaker, and it's Disney, and they usually put out quality entertainment. So, you know, I had high expectations going in. The story is essentially about a young girl named Meg, whose father mysteriously disappears after he's a scientist and he's on a breakthrough. It's about her angst and dealing with that. She gets in trouble at school. You know, she has trouble fitting in. She gets bullied. And she is visited by three interdimensional beings played by Oprah Winfrey, Mindy Kaling, and Reese Witherspoon, Mrs. Who, Mrs. What's It, and Mrs. Witch. And they guide her on a quest across the cosmos to reunite and bring back home her father, who is captured in this other dimension. And it's just about the journey that Meg takes to bring her father home. So it's a story that spans multiple dimensions. We get to see multiple planets, a lot of lush vistas and crazy visuals. And I will say this about the film. I think it has a lot of imagination and it has a lot of heart. I think what Ava DuVernay has managed to capture in this film so perfectly is the sheer emotion of the story. Because when a film makes me tear up in the opening scene, I think that's a good sign. You're doing something right if you can pull that kind of emotion out of me, and the movie hasn't even really started yet. I give Ava DuVernay credit. Where I think the story falters is the story itself. It's a very narratively bumpy ride, and it's hard to put my finger on exactly what makes it so. I feel like the science in the film is so necessary to understand what is happening, because things just kind of happen in this movie and you're just supposed to kind of go with it. I don't know if they were worried that kids would be bored, but a main part of the book is explaining what a wrinkle in time even is, and why it's necessary to understand when we're dealing with dimension hopping adventure. And there's even a scene in the trailer. It's in the book and it's even in the trailer. So they shot the scene where they explain Meg has a rope or a little string and I guess a toy ant. And she says, you know, the easiest way for the ant to get from one end of the string to the other is for it to cross the, you know, go across the string. But there's a way where you can bend the string and it would reach the end of the string instantaneously, and that's what a wrinkle in time is. So they shot that scene in the trailer and it's not in the movie. And I feel like that would be nice to know as an audience member, kind of explaining how we're jumping through space and time. So I feel like the film expects a lot out of its audience to buy this story. And I feel like a little bit more explanation. I feel like there was no exposition. We complain a lot in movies when there's too much exposition or when exposition is handled clumsily, but a lot of times it's necessary to understand what's happening. And that wasn't necessarily present in the film. I do think the performances are all great, especially when we're dealing with child actors. Storm Reid, who plays the character of Meg in the movie, I thought she was absolutely terrific. She grounds the movie, gives it a lot of heart. Chris Pine as the father, even though he's not in too many scenes, the relationship between him and Meg is so beautifully rendered on screen and had me in tears again, just from the opening scene and then later on in the film. Oprah Winfrey, Mindy Kaling,
how's
and Reese
Oprah?
Witherspoon.
Gotta know how Oprah is. Come on, man.
Well,
she's using all the marketing. Like, it's her face on everything. Is she that good in it?
They're all pretty good. I think Reese Witherspoon fares the best because I think she's given the most screen time, and she's also the quirkiest and the strangest of the three. But Oprah's good. She's kind of the motherly figure towards Meg. She kind of provides a lot of the movies. How do I say it? I guess when she's imparting advice on Meg and she's giving her encouragement to go on and face this evil and go get your father. And she gives that kind of commanding, but also motherly assurance and that warmth that you would want in a character such as that. I thought all of the casting around the board was great. And you get Zach Galifianakis and Michael Pena in small roles, and they pop up and do their kind of weird, quirky thing. I think the film I admire more for its visual imagination, its ambition in terms of this is a weird movie. It reminded me a lot of films such as Labyrinth and The Dark Crystal and The Neverending Story, where when you watch it as a kid, you don't really mind the fact that there is no narrative through line or real narrative thrust. I mean, watch Labyrinth and tell me that that's like there's no rise and fall of action in that movie because it's just kind of a collection of things that happen. And you just kind of go with it because the movie envelops you in this fantasy world and strange things happen. And it's more about the journey necessarily than the plot. So I have a feeling that people will come around on A Wrinkle in Time. Critics are not being necessarily kind to it, but critics were not necessarily kind to The Dark Crystal or Labyrinth or movies such as that. Classic movies from the 80s, Return to Oz, that are just odd, but have become cult classics and people really, they're really beloved now by people and fans. So I feel like even though critics are being sniffy on A Wrinkle in Time, even though audiences might not come around to it immediately, I have a feeling that in a few years, this will be kind of like a cult classic in the vein of those fantasy films from the 80s.
So let's get to it then. Let's hear it.
The last thing I want to say, this movie will mean a lot to kids, and especially African-American girls, because the hero, the savior of the universe in this movie, is a little black girl. And I sat directly next to an African-American mother and daughter. And the daughter, she was, I would say, around 8 or 9. She had glasses and kind of big poofy hair like Meg has in the movie, like Storm Reid has in the film. And I kind of watched her watch the movie, and she was loving it. She was completely wowed by it. She, during the scary parts, she kind of hugged her mom, and I saw it in 3D, and for some of the 3D effects, she was like reaching out and trying to touch things on screen. And she would whisper to her mom, like, oh, I remember that from the book. And it was amazing watching this little girl completely enraptured by this film. And I think that was more meaningful to me than the actual film was watching. I think this is an important movie for kids to see. And especially, you know, we're at a point now with Black Panther, like representation matters. People who have for so long not really seen, I mean, only once in a while would they see themselves as the hero on screen. And now we're getting to a point where, you know, with Black Panther and this movie, I'm not saying that these are, you know, it's the first time a black person has been the hero in a movie, but I'm just saying we're at a crossroads and we're at a turning point in our society, and especially in our films now, where a little black girl can be the savior of the universe. And I think that's really important, and that I can see this movie meaning a lot to people. So it does have narrative problems. It's not anything that's going to change your life. But I'm going to give Wrinkle in Time a 7 out of 10.
Ooh, so it was good. See, you liked it. I just have one question to ask real quick before we finish out this part of the show. It wasn't a CGI overload, Brian. You said you saw it in 3D, and from what I saw, it looked like a lot of CG.
It's mostly CG because you're dealing with other planets and there's a lot of green screen and CGI. It's not... I didn't notice, maybe because I saw it in 3D, but I thought that it was all very well integrated. All the effects looked great. None of it looked super cartoonish or off-putting or fake. I thought it was all blended together very well. I mean, it's a $100 million picture, so it has a budget, but it's not on nearly the level of the Marvel movies or, you know, Batman versus Superman or anything like that. So for the most part, I thought all of the CGI worked very well. Visually beautiful, beautiful to look at. Especially they go to this one planet early on and it's very lush and green and beautiful bright blue sky. And I was just like, wow. Like I was completely, I actually whispered under my breath, like, wow, like great visuals in this. So I don't know. I thought the visual aspect of it was pretty remarkable, actually. And thank you for that.
Jesus.
That is the end of the segment. Thank you, Loy Sauce. You know what, guys? Thank you so much, Loy Sauce, for your thoughts on A Wrinkle in Time. I know Nick and I did not get a chance to see it, and I know it was pretty divisive with critics and people that want to see it over the weekend.
Thank you guys all so much for listening. Make sure you check out episode 136, where we're going to talk about The Avengers Infinity War, the new trailer, and we're going to talk about the Fantastic Beasts 2 trailer and a ton, and I mean a ton of news, especially about live stream for The Cure 2.0. So until next time, I am Nick.
I'm Justin.
And we will see you
at the movies.
Check out more shows like it at oddfixnetwork.com.